You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
We're going to go some places tonight. We're going to go some places tonight. That worship was awesome. We're not done dancing yet. By the time we're done with this, you guys are going to be dancing on the heads of principalities and powers. I promise you. I promise you. You know, there are different graces and different anointings. There are different graces and different anointings. And the interesting thing is, you know, on any given day or any given message, even the same vessel will bring different graces out. This morning, strong teaching was coming out. Tonight is going to be a little bit more apostolic because we're going to be establishing some things in the spirit for the region. And you guys are going to be caught up into the spirit in the process. Expect. The realm is already open. He was singing about oil, and I was sitting under a big vat of oil. I was in my mouth, in my hair. I was, come on. It's pouring out. It's real. Do not think that the spirit world is fiction. It is fact. It is fact. You say, communications towers are falling over. That's the prelude. That's the prelude. Tonight, we are going to talk about thrones. Thrones are a concept found all throughout Scripture. There is hardly a person on the planet that does not understand the concept of a throne. But I'm going to read you a passage, and we're going to open up a reality around this subject that we need in order to govern properly. How many of you know we were sent here to govern? We are training for reigning until we learn to reign. And we can reign here and now, I promise you. When we understand the true meaning of ecclesia as a church, we understand we are a governing body. Governing bodies govern unless they're on sabbatical. How long have you been on sabbatical? When do you want to get back to work? But in order to govern, you must govern from an ascended state. Let's talk about thrones. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Follow me. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Let me tell you something about this passage. We see four items listed. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. How many of you understand these are classifications of beings in the spirit world? classifications of beings in the spirit world. I'm going to take you into the spirit world tonight. Let me tell you, I live on both sides of the veil. That's my experience. That's my reality. And I do not apologize for it. I do not apologize for that. And when I speak on things, sometimes I speak on things as though the spirit world were as real as the world that we are navigating in the flesh. I'm not going to apologize for that. God is calling us up. Because when we get to that place, we have a perspective that allows us to do our job. How many of you know Oklahoma needs some shifting? Oklahoma needs the government of God. And the government of God must come through his people. Let me explain something to you. Let's say I set up a committee in the church. I say, you're the benevolence committee. Every benevolence application goes to you. You review it and then you make a decision, and that person will receive an allocation. And every time a submission goes to the benevolence committee, I take it. I usurp what I have set in place and I say, I will just do it because I am the pastor. I will have a very unhappy committee. That's called mismanagement. Some of us want God to mismanage us because he would like God to bypass the ecclesia in order to get something done in the earth. God wants it done, he'll just do it. Let me explain. There are orders in the heavens. Seraphim, cherubim, dominions, principalities, powers, thrones. There is a whole order of thrones. Anybody ever met a throne before? Do you know what that being is like? I meditated this for a long time. I said, the cherubim, I see them. They're in Ezekiel, living creatures. Seraphim, I see them. They're in the book of Isaiah, taking the coal from the altar, touching it to the prophet's mouth. I see them. I see angels all throughout the word of God. Thrones are tricky, though. Or are they? I'm opening up a realm. Understand, if you go with me, you will simply be caught up into encounter. I'm not going to have to do anything. Just follow me, and the encounter will open up all by, you'll start to get thoughts. Just, whoa, wait, what is God doing? Go with it. Just go there. The Spirit, did we invite Holy Spirit or did we not? Invite Holy Spirit. Revelation 4 and verse 1. And I, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne. A throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. Why does the church get assembled as living stones? Because the God we serve manifests as living stones. Oh, those are alive. I will tell you what, Jasper and Sardius, that is our God. And there was a rainbow around the throne. In appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. 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 And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. Clothed in white robes. Now, this is interesting. You know that when the Levitical priests did their service, they were not allowed to sit. They stood in the temple. They stood. But these, they are seated. Clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. The realm is opening up. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. I'm only taking you where I've been. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The word translated voices in the Greek is phone, which means sounds, tones of voice, or speech. It's actually the source of our phone. It's a communications device. Let me explain to you what happened to me. I was meditating this, and I said, you know, it seems like the throne talks. I was talking to a person. I said, I just think the throne actually does its own talking. And immediately I was caught up in the spirit. And I was standing in front of the throne of God. And it was not God who spoke to me that day. It was the throne. And it said, thank you for noticing me. I want you to understand that the order of thrones are thrones that are alive. They are living beings. They communicate and they interface. Oh, we're just getting started. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They communicate. They exist. They have sentience. They have self-awareness in the spirit. They are their own order. Chief among them, this guy. Whew. Thrones are sentient, self-aware entities. The throne of David is a sentient, self-aware entity from which Jesus rules until all of his enemies are made his footstool. Do you know Jesus is in perpetual interface with that throne because that is where authority flows? Ooh. Ha. See, we're supposed to be seated. Where? We're supposed to be governing. Where? See, God does not mismanage. He'll just wait for you to come off sabbatical and take your seat. Hold on. Do you think God is the only one sitting down in the throne room? I promise you, there's at least 24 more. All right? At least. Thrones are not just chairs made of wood, metal. They are both persons and realms. Can I tell you something? They are capable of having a form, a function, an identity, a consciousness, and a sentience. And we know God's throne is a realm. Why? Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne. You understand the order of creation, friends. I have spent a lot of time with thrones. There are thrones that know me all throughout the creation. They talk to me. Throne is a function that can be performed. Shemaim exists to be the place that our existence occupies and simultaneously fulfills a purpose as the throne of God. I'm going to open up another mystery. This one is extraordinary. Jesus. Jesus. Did you know that the mercy seat was the lid on the Ark of the Covenant? It was a box. It had posts. And it had a lid. On that lid were two cherubims with wings pointed towards each other. That was the mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled. Hebrews 9 talks about it. Verse 5, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. But in the New Testament, we also learn in 1 John 2 in verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is translated from hilasterion. It means an appeasing or expiating force. Did you know that this same word is simultaneously used of the mercy seat? Jesus is the mercy seat. And his blood is forever sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat. So when we understand that the mercy seat is set in the midst of the living creatures, by type and shadow, we look at Revelation 5 in a whole new light. Heavenly things. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and out, and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, this one was seated on a throne, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and the four living creatures, that's the mercy seat, stood the Lamb as though it had been slain, covered in his own blood. Jesus is the mercy seat in Revelation chapter 5. Wow. Man. And he is worthy. Ooh. See, these are heavenly things. There are constructs in the spirit. There are beings in the spirit. There are thrones. And there are seats. And this function can be achieved by different things. In fact, some of you have stolen humanity sitting in thrones that belong to principalities and powers. You're part of their seat. They squat on you. But Jesus is the mercy seat, and the throne of God is heavens. Let me explain the spirit world to you. God came to me in 2020. This was 4 years ago now. 4 years ago. And I received the word of the Lord. He said, "Daniel, I am unveiling thrones to you at this time." Thrones are an order in the heavens. They are very significant to the order of creation and how all things are governed. Thrones are sentient entities. They are alive. They can be cleansed, defiled, empowered, misplaced, discarded, reinstated, broken, and repaired. They have a variety of personalities and dispositions. Thus, they influence the one who sits upon them. Offices are integrally connected into the thrones associated with them. I create thrones. Yet like realms, thrones can be brought into existence through the decisions and government of other orders. There are God-ordained thrones and there are other thrones. All of them exist in the spirit world. He said, "My thrones are designed to serve me and my purposes in the creation." Some thrones, like other evil entities, can simply be destroyed, but the ones I have appointed must be ministered to and restored. Let me open a book. ministering with and to the order of thrones is complex. It's nuanced. It's a whole book of its own. I'm opening the book for many of you tonight. You didn't even know this was a book. I've been ministering into the realm of thrones for 4 years. So I'm familiar. All of this is true. Do you know that tonight we're going to minister to your thrones? Do you think that God wants you crawling around on all fours, rolling around, running in circles? Or do you think he wants you seated in a place of governing power to execute kingdom function to the creation? Many of us lack an experience of spiritual authority because we do not sit in the thrones we have been appointed. We don't occupy them. They are abdicated. Have you ever heard of a king who abdicates his throne? What happens? A squatter takes it, typically. Someone that doesn't belong squats on it. And then you gotta kick the squatters out. Some of you have squatters in spiritual thrones you didn't know existed. The realm is opened up. Just go there. Don't. I'm telling you. The Lord will start to show you as I talk. Don't tune him out to tune me in. The Lord will show you. He'll just open it up. You will start to see this, I promise. You're going to see some things like, what the heck is this? God said to me, if you cleanse a throne, it is a high form in intercession. I'm in this hour unveiling to you many strategies that have evaded the understanding of my people for thousands of years. Which is true. You are uniquely positioned to bring about things. Striking the enemy with blows from which they will not recover ever. Let me tell you something. Do you know why? Because I was sent to equip you. This isn't a solo act. This is a function of the kingdom. I was sent to equip the body to execute the ministry of the king. And together, as one, we can govern the spirit world. This is a revelation the devil has been fighting for thousands of years. Thrones have feelings and emotions. They have perspectives and ancient data. Thrones are mobile and to an extent as well as dimensional. When we meet the throne of God in the book of Ezekiel, we see a throne entering through a portal, engulfing itself in fire, escorted by four living creatures and wheels within wheels. And one like unto a man seated high above the firmament. What is that? It is the throne of God. It is mobile. God's throne moves. God is always moving. But his throne is not the only mobile throne. Like everything else, thrones can be understood as realms. They speak with voices, lightning, thundering. From them proceed authority and power. I'm going to tell you something else. If you think you only have one throne, you do not have kingdom thinking. You have many thrones. God has many thrones. Like Father, like Son. He said something interesting to me. He said, your throne, your main throne, is in my throne room. I do not only store my throne in my throne room, I keep the thrones of my children in my throne room as well. Hence, it is called a throne room. I make room for my family. There is an area where unoccupied thrones are kept. Then he said, there are vastly more in number than those thrones which have been occupied and set. There remain many that have not cooperated with my effort to set them in my body. Now, I'm going to tell you, as we move into enthroning, this is a dynamic conversation, because there are things that we can deal with as an ecclesia seated that are absolutely extraordinary. But sometimes the counterfeit precedes the genuine. Some of us have ungodly thrones established upon the iniquity of our bloodlines. Some of us have ungodly thrones established upon the iniquity of our bloodlines. Would you like to keep yours? I want to invite you to stand up. This will apply to some, maybe not all. But the Bible says, ask and it will be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock. And it will be opened unto you. Tonight, we are going to discard with some of these ungodly, unordained, unauthorized thrones from which our bloodlines have been defiled. I want you to close your eyes. Holy Spirit of Truth. If there is an ungodly throne in our bloodlines, I cause the veil on its existence to be pulled back now in the name of Jesus. Now you look, and you look, and if you see a throne being revealed to you at this request, I want you to raise your hand. Wow. Wow. I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, Jesus, on behalf of my bloodline as a representative of my bloodline. I repent for whatever was done to establish this ungodly throne. And in this atmosphere of authority, I submit this throne under the jurisdiction of the throne of the Most High God. Now crush it. Crush it. Crush it. Father God, we repent for the blood that has seeded these thrones with counterfeit life. And we pull the blood out of the thrones and send it to bear witness in the courts of heaven now. Crush. A show of hands. How many of you saw that throne come under judgment? Wow. In order because of tonight. Wealth will flow where it has been diverted tonight. I always know when I'm on the right track because I hear the kingdom of darkness start to cuss me out. And they are cussing. There are many thrones of evil entities. I'm talking Satan himself. And they have trafficked the humanity of their victims into these thrones to get power. I have delivered so many people from the throne of Satan. We have a first name relationship. I am not intimidated by the devil. Not this one. You had the teacher this morning, you got the apostle tonight. We're going to take our stuff back. We are going to take our stuff back. We are not intimidated. Holy Spirit of truth, we're ready. We're ready. Show us what principalities, evil beings have had the audacity to traffic the humanity of your children into their thrones. I pull back the veil. You see what Holy Spirit starts to show you. You might not like it. That's okay. That's okay. You might not like it. doctor might not like it. But my God is greater. How many of you are coming to the revelation that there's been some unkind thing squatting? Father God, right now I engage with my finder and pull up the coordinates of the thrones where humanity has been trafficked. And right now I command a massive army of angels of the Lord and call them charged with the names of God. Yahovah Yireh, Yahovah Rapha, Yahovah Shammah, Yahovah Nisi, Yahovah Tzidkenu, Yahovah Mekadesh, Yahovah Ra'ah, Yahovah Shalom, Yahovah Gibor, Yahovah Elohim, Yahovah Sabaoth, Yahovah Isus, Yahovah Hosinu, Yahovah Shail, Yahovah Koana, Yahovah Milchama, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Olam, El Roy, Yeshua HaMashiach. Fight for us, seven spirits of God. Spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I invite the living letters to converge now on the evil thrones that have taken our humanity captive to scramble their code and ruin them, just as the stars fought from their courses against Sisera. I declare the stars of the heavens will fight against the enemies of God and partner with the children of God in the advancement of his kingdom. Heavens, Shemayim, let your wrath be poured out. Let your wrath be poured out on those that persecute you through the robbery and usurpation of our humanity by evil thrones throughout you. I identify every back door, backup program, power source, and backup power source. I cause them to be consumed in the holy fire of Jesus Christ and dissolved. I identify every gate, frequency, barrier, equation, cloaking device, force field, sacred geometry, defensive protocol, apex of time, or DNA matrix that would serve as a protection on these evil thrones. I ask you, King Jesus, to unlock, set aside, and completely dismiss with these right now. I engage with your word in Isaiah 61, which says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Therefore, I open up the windows of heaven and loose the armies of the Lord, war horses, chariots of fire. I decree evil thrones must be expunged of human parts. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. They must be expunged of human parts, spirit, soul, and body. And these parts must be taken to third heaven. appeal to the courts of heaven. On behalf of our parts, our family lines, our bloodlines, our cell lines, and all those that we represent, I submit all relevant testimonies of injustice in combination with every item detailing the crimes of these evil thrones and their government in the heavenly cosmic records. I pray the evidence of injustice and criminal activities would be weighed on the scales of justice, and I demand judgment. Do you demand judgment? Say, we demand judgment. Crushing blow against these evil thrones and all of their operations in all time, space, dimension, and reality into light and its inverse, executed by the armies of heaven, chariots of fire, the broom of destruction, the tsunami of living water, earthquakes, airquakes, seaquakes, confusion, the acts of the Lord, and the fiery stream that proceeds forth from the throne of God to collapse their operations to the fullest extent that the manifestation of our justice and the evidence submitted allows for, as you administrate judgment in your righteousness, Lord God. I call the thrones cracked, shattered, rendered dysfunctional in punishment. I decree their foundations are torn apart. And I declare that our humanity is restored now from all over the heavens, from defiled places in the earth, through the washing of living water. I decree that the humanity that has been stolen is escorted back now. Jesus, our expiating force. He has his own throne, and he has sat down with the Father on his throne. A spirit can sit with another spirit on their throne. When we look at the prayer of Jesus, we begin to understand the concept of quantumly entangled thrones. I do not pray for these alone, John 17 and verse 20, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is why we can be co-heirs with Christ. It has to do with God's desire for raising us up as a family of sons and daughters, fully manifesting our royalty to the creation. Romans 8 The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Quantumly entangled thrones. Did you know that as praise exudes from us, we enthrone God in our midst? God has many thrones. One of them is our praise. Let me explain. Psalm 22 and verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. For those who overcome, we can sit with Jesus in His throne. And since He is seated in the Father's throne and we are united to the Father through Him, we can sit in the throne of the Father in Him. I'm going to tell you something. We are going to sit in heavenly thrones tonight. I took you out of ungodly thrones in Jesus' name. But in Jesus' name, we are going to occupy our godly thrones. Another reason why you will not leave this conference. But you have to understand that thrones are for governing. Thrones are for governing. And Jesus currently sits on the throne of David. Let me explain. This is a living, sentient being that is an authority which Jesus Himself interfaces, an authority which David first interfaced. Understanding thrones will help you understand another dimension of how God is raising up sons and daughters in this generation to change nations. Because when He sits His kids in human thrones, mayor, governor, congressman, we can interface the human throne with the heavenly throne and execute a heavenly authority through human institutions that will turn the world upside down. You don't know how awesome this gets. I've seen it. I tell you, I speak from what I have seen. And I look at people, and they look at me, often like this. I see a lion in you. Kings, queens, generals, power. Let me tell you about the throne of David. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His kingdom. His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. One of the greatest travesties in modern Christianity is that there are some people that think Jesus is waiting to take this throne until after He returns in glory. They think that our job is to be here, live a moral life only, and suffer with patient endurance until. But when we take our thrones, there's no space left for that fallacy. We take thrones to govern. We take thrones to interface with heavenly authority for kingdom purposes. And if we divorce ourselves from the purpose, why take the seat? Why take the seat? Just keep standing up. Let me tell you something. This is how I know, without question, Jesus occupies the throne of David now. Acts 2:29. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrected Christ. That he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God has raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth for this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let me tell you, when you take your thrones, it is because we are ready to make our Lord's enemies a footstool. If you do not agree with that, you can stay standing up. But if we sit, Satan must bow. Jesus occupies this throne until the very last enemy is destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. This is why it is written in Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3, he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down. Where did he sit? Throne of David. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 8, But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Ecclesiology 101. God set a government in the earth, and he is not going to bypass man to pass through his agendas. He will pass his agendas through man. Hebrews 10. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made his footstool. If we want change, we sit down and we govern as the children of God in the earth. I want y'all to stand up. We're taking a journey tonight. I told you, you get caught right into the spirit world. Holy Spirit, right now, I pull back the veil. Ascend, church, ascend. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Unveil the thrones we need to occupy tonight. Unveil the thrones we need to occupy tonight. Heavenly thrones are very interesting. And if you are going to engage with the throne the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, it is courtesy to ask. What do you want me to know? Because the thrones will speak. Don't pretend like you're making it up. The realm is open. The throne you see is the throne that is there. Talk to it. Throne. What is your job? Revelation flow. Revelation flow. Out of our bellies will flow forth rivers of living water. But the living water flows from the throne of God. And the thrones that we sit on should interface with the rivers that come out of our belly. That river comes out with authority when it is interfaced with a throne. It carries the economy of heaven when it is interfaced with a throne. It comes out and changes the course of history. It is the living water that heals the nations. Living waters flow. Living waters flow. Living waters flow. Living waters flow. Thank you.
So you get comfortable in your thrones, friends. You get comfortable. You get cozy. Can I tell you something? Thrones often have buttons. They're very cool. Look on the handles. Buttons, control panels, all kinds of cool functions. Really cool. Yeah. You know, when you push the lightning button, it can actually zap things with lightning as well. Yeah. You thought the witches were the only ones that could send thunder and lightning? No. Just sitting around. There's no rush. There's no rush. We're going somewhere. Can I tell you? I did all this because I am interested in recruiting your help to vote some things into the land of Oklahoma. I can't do it by myself. I cannot do it by myself. I need your vote. Because when the seated ecclesia votes, there is power. There is government that flows into the land. Get cozy. What you need to understand is that in Isaiah 61, we see a prophecy of the coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that he may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Jesus quotes Isaiah 61 in the New Testament. And he stops midway through the passage. This has befuddled a number of theologians. He stops. When Jesus quotes this passage in the book of Luke, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stops. Right before the day of the vengeance of our God. And people have been confused, befuddled. They've thought, well, our Christian duty stops at restoration of the Jubilee. It does not include vengeance. We have no part with vengeance. We only take it. I've heard people teach the armor of God as a strategy for taking it. Just stand there and get beat and beat and beat. And having done all to stand there for. I've heard people say the sword of the Spirit is a defensive weapon. You can't even attack with that thing. So just take it. This Luciferian teaching, I'm going to explain something to you. Jesus stopped in the middle of verse 2, not because it wouldn't be fulfilled until his second coming, but because it wouldn't be fulfilled until the death, burial, and resurrection of our God. Because in his death, burial, and resurrection, he declared the day of the vengeance of our God and took vengeance on his enemies
in the heavens as it is written, and you being dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, having taken it out of the way and nailing it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, triumphing over them and making an open show of them in it. This, I promise you, friends, was vengeance. So now we are in a different era where Jesus demonstrated vengeance and tasked us with the responsibility of governing. And when vengeance must be taken, we voted in. Just like we bring in the healing and the salvation and the deliverance and the setting free of the captives, Jesus unlocks all of Isaiah 61 in his death, burial, and resurrection, because I promise you, it doesn't stop at the day of vengeance. It says, they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. It says that the strangers will stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Is anybody waiting to be a priest? Please tell me no. Please tell me you've taken the call. Because of Revelation 1 says, and has made them kings and priests. Priesthood is an identity you can either walk in or not. They shall be called kings and priests, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. It is written, they shall call you the servants of our God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you will boast. Instead of your shame. Oh, that's Isaiah 61 too. I can't even get to the restoration of shame until I come through the day of vengeance. Instead of your shame, there shall be double honor. Instead of confusion, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Let me tell you something. When the sons of God rule with the government of heaven and turn the nations of the earth upside down in this generation where we are under the most significant opposition the kingdom of darkness possibly has ever mounted in all of human history, the abundance that follows those that walk out their call will be extraordinary. They shall possess double. Wow. Wow. So we ascend Jesus. We ascend Jesus. Because when we operate from the ascended place, the warfare actually gets easier. There's more grace on it. It's just profound, the power that you are working with. So we are going to vote some things down, and then we are going to worship God. And when we worship God, we are going to dance on the heads of our fallen enemies.
I have a few line items. I will speak them. And you will. From your throne. Agree. Unless you don't. Jesus. Right now we take our thrones as the ecclesia seated in your presence. And we identify the communications grid of the witches and warlocks in the region. I move to vote that thing into judgment and vengeance of God. Do you agree? Oklahoma City needs to back up. So I motion that vengeance must be taken on that religious spirit. That is a overshadowing force defiling this region. Do you agree?
Freemasonic and deep state grips defiling this land. The Freemasonic and deep state grips defiling this land. That whole power structure needs an interruption. So I make a motion.
Been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.